Okay, so today is the 18th of February, 2018, and we're going to be studying the sixth chapter of Acts, and the title of this teaching is, Do You Love Ms. Sophia? Do you love Ms. Sophia? To you married men, don't be scared to have the answer be yes. You won't get in trouble. Because Ms. Sophia is wisdom. Sophia is the Greek word for wisdom, and it's referred to in the scriptures as a she, as we see multiple times in the book of Proverbs. Okay. And so we'll hopefully get an idea of what it looks like to love Miss Sophia by the end of the teaching. Okay, so I'm going to start out then by reading from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and five other guys, one of which was a proselyte of Antioch. I say five other guys because I don't know how to say their names. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And that was verses 1 through 8 of Acts chapter 6. So chapter 6 starts with a conflict, starts with a problem. There was some widows that were being neglected in the ministration. And this was resulting in murmuring. Now, murmuring is not a good thing. We see in Philippians 2:14 through 15, that it's not a good thing. It says, Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Okay, so so far, multiple chapters in Acts have said the church increased in size. And again, here in verse 1, we read the number of the disciples was multiplied. Keep in mind, handling a diverse, large group is more difficult than a small handful. Wisdom is needed here. Again, wisdom is needed here. You're going to hear me say that often throughout this teaching. There was potential to have major discord between two people groups. That would be no small matter. Issues of inequality, respect of persons, contention, all might come about. So again, wisdom is needed here. Help wanted, wisdom required. The body of Christ, thankfully, came to the rescue. As a reminder, a body has multiple parts working together. All parts of the body are important. All parts of the body are important. Accordingly, it is important that each one be healthy and equipped. Even for the task of serving tables, the apostles required helpers that were full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom. And full of wisdom. Now, a person, as we see here with the apostles, a person can't do it all at once. We are a body. We need to function as a body and not have one part of the body try to do it all at once. There are trade-offs in life, many, many, many trade-offs. Over and over, you'll need to make a decision on how to handle a trade-off. Just in case you're not familiar with the term trade-off, it's where you have to choose between two choices, to keep it simple. So, for example, here, the apostles had a trade-off they were dealing with. They could serve tables, but out of their own words, they would say, then they would be leaving the Word of God. So that's an example of a trade-off. And with all of these trade-offs that we will face in life, wisdom is needed here. The apostle said, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. By getting help from the seven, the apostles were able to give themselves continually in prayer and to the ministry of the word. Keep in mind, the apostles were the ones with Jesus from the beginning. Jesus said that they would bear witness of Jesus because they had been with him from the beginning. That was Jesus. What Jesus had said in John 15:27. So it makes sense that they not leave the word of God and serve tables. Of course, the wise path is more obvious in some circumstances than others. So some trade-offs will the easy one to discern, others will be more challenging. Now, I said a person can't do it all at once. But, in that same breath, it doesn't mean that they just do, that they're limited to just one thing. We all have multiple types of ministry opportunities. Wisdom is needed here. Life involves more than preaching festivals. There are many jobs needing people full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. How much time to spend on each ministry? Wisdom is needed here. Be careful to not neglect any of your ministries or responsibilities. Note that even as one of the seven table servers, Stephen still preached and contended for the faith. In fact, he ended up being the first Christian martyr that we see in the book of Acts. In 2 Timothy 3:12, we see, "Yeah, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So, returning to the reading, after the problem was handled in wisdom, the problem of the widows being neglected, or certain widows being neglected, we then get the good news of the church continuing to grow. Wisdom is needed here. For example, should we spread the net, so to speak? And when should a cell become two cells? These are just a couple questions that come up as a church grows. And so wisdom is needed here. Okay, and then verse 9 of Acts chapter 6. Stephen contended for the faith. Okay. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Syrians, and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Okay, so that was Acts chapter 6, 9 through 15. So, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which Stephen spoke. Note, these two elements, wisdom and the spirit, are what the apostles required of the seven table servers. Again, note, these two elements, wisdom and the spirit, are what the apostles required of the seven table servers. Okay, so false. In verse 14, we see Stephen being falsely accused. As far as how to handle false accusations, wisdom is needed here. We will see in chapter 7 that Stephen exercises wisdom by preaching from the law, the very books that he was falsely accused of blaspheming. Okay, so what do I want you to remember today? Wisdom is needed. You will need wisdom, no matter what you do in life. You will need wisdom every day. Don't neglect it. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 7 reads, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." So I'm talking there. "Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Verse 7, "Wisdom is the principal thing." Principal thing. "Therefore, get wisdom." "And with all thy getting, get understanding." Proverbs chapter 7, verse 4 reads, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister." Thou art my sister. "And call understanding thy kinswoman." So, I encourage you all to make increasing in wisdom a very high priority. Very high priority to increase in wisdom. I recommend striving for it by coupling prayer with Bible chewing. Key words in that sentence. I recommend striving for it by coupling prayer with Bible chewing. Someone, instead of saying chewing, might say studying. I like to use the word chewing. Make sure you chew your food. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Okay, so here are some scriptures regarding the value of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 15 through 18 reads, "She," that is wisdom, "she is more precious than rubies." I got it. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Again, all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Now we'll be looking at Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. It reads, "Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Next, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16. "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver?" Okay, so those scriptures there should communicate to you that there is great value in wisdom. So, being that it's so valuable, as we see here in the scriptures, we want to, not just valuable, but it's needed. And we want to then naturally know, well, how might we get it and get more of it? It's a continuing process. It is a ETH word in King James terms, right? It's a continual, it's not where you know, one day get all the wisdom that you're going to need for the rest of your life.
Right.
Okay, so that should be an encouragement then to those that have wisdom to continue striving for more wisdom. The Bible says that a wise man continues to learn. Okay, so here are some Bible verses regarding how to get wisdom. I'm very sure that there are other Bible verses. There's a lot of encouragement and powerful verses. Just for the sake of time, this is the list that I prepared.
I'm sorry, brother, to interrupt you. Before you go to that, of course, you just covered Proverbs 16, and before that, Proverbs 3 was. Did I miss some verses in between there?
Proverbs 8.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Verses 10 through 11.
8. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. So, here are some Bible verses regarding how to get wisdom. James, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him.
Amen.
But, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Next, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Okay. Next, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Wisdom talking here. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Next, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yeah, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest her for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yeah, every good path. So, there is some verses on how to get wisdom, which was part of my encouragement to us all to strive after wisdom and view it as incredibly valuable and necessary. Okay, so that is the teaching. So now we'll start our special time. If you have questions, comments, concerns, that sort of thing.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate your teaching. And I wanted to ask about going back to the beginning of the chapter in 6. turn there real quick. I'm sorry. Okay. In verse 2, it says, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So, I think that word also means reasonable or reasoned out. It doesn't make sense that we should leave God's word and serve tables.
Amen.
And that all has to do with this whole idea of Sophia and philosophy, the love of knowledge, the love of truth, love of wisdom. That's what philosophy is supposed to mean, that the love of Sophia. Are we pretty much in agreement about that?
I haven't heard that before, but okay.
Yeah, that's those Greek words are
of Sophia.
Are based on that Philos, Philadelphia love.
Oh yeah, that does sound familiar.
Yeah, and Sophia's sophistry is love and knowledge and
cool.
So, in striving for wisdom, obviously we're teaching God's word. Tells us to seek after these and make it a priority, a primary objective that we do. In verse 7, in talking about the appointed, it says, wherefore, brethren, look you among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over the business. So do you think, or is your supposition, that they did the business, or they were like captains or managers of the business?
I did consider that thought when looking at the scriptures. I even noted the word over. I originally had it in my, I was going to mention it in the teaching, but I didn't want to distract from some other things I was talking about. And I felt that it was okay for me to leave it out because from looking at it, I didn't spend a whole month on it or anything, but from looking at it, to me it was just unclear. Yeah, for maybe they were like they were seeking some managers rather than
captains.
Actual people walking to the tables.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't clear, so I thought, well, if it's not clear, I'll just...
Well, the reason I would seek clarification is because by this time, at least it's multiplied out to 8,000 men, plus any families that would come along with those 8,000 men. So we're talking about a huge group of people that needs to be ministered to. And so if you have one captain over 1,200, 1,250 people who is saying, okay, I need everyone here to clean up and help minister to the widows and this and that, right? So there would be fairness in the distribution of the needs being met.
Right, yep.
And so that's why I think it's absolutely reasonable to assume they were just captains appointed over people that were serving each other. So just to keep the fray down and keep the problems down.
Right, that's the direction I was leaning as well. I just didn't want to assume it is all, because I don't know how, and maybe through more study I would learn how they did these ministrations.
Mm-hmm.
For all I know, they have a huge container full of meat,
mm-hmm.
right? That a person would carry, or using a cart would haul to some big table, and that would be then they're serving the food. And so rather than the idea of our fine dining in Kentucky, right, where we have individual plates going from the server to each of the eaters, So, again, that's the direct. What you said was the direction I was leaning in. Seems like
reasonable.
Reasonable. I just didn't want to assume it is all.
Okay.
Because you know, if I, yeah, I didn't want. I didn't want to. Yeah, assume it.
No problem. Yeah, I think we have. I think those are very large clues that we can make good deductions versus assumptions. That would be impossible for seven men to handle those kinds of groups of people. So it must lead me to the conclusion that they were captains or overseers of that job. And that the apostles' work, and that's, I didn't really address that, but the apostles' work of prayer, committing themselves to prayer and study of God's word, very important part of them ministering to such a huge body of people. You know, think here's a mega church. God has established. You know, people don't want to talk about mega churches, but here's a mega church being established through the Holy Spirit and the multiplication of His Word, multiplication of the disciples. So, not just addition, but multiplication, which I'm very interested to see that happen. But,
amen.
And I didn't expound on it a lot in the teaching, mm-hmm. But I did try to just briefly say, you know, the. We see the church growing. Wisdom is needed here.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The petty jealousies and backbiting. And, you know, we see that even just in small family groups, you know, not to mention just a group of diverse people with diverse backgrounds and bringing them all together under the instruction of the Holy Ghost. So.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm done, brother.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say it was a great teaching. I really enjoyed it. And I just wanted to add one thing. I questioned it. In a rebuttal. In the beginning there, when they select, there's three requirements that they had. We touched on the two. But there's one that stuck off the page and hit me between the eyes.
Honesty.
Honest report. And so why was it important, you know, that's, I'll answer the question, I'll ask the question and answer. Why was it important for them to have an honest report? Well, at the end of the chapter, what's happening? Stephen's being falsely accused. So how would they know that this was a false accusation if they didn't know that Stephen was an honest person in the first place? And so that's why it's so important to be honest and forthright and transparent in our lives. And not try to hide things, and that's you know, that's an honest report. That was, I think that's great. That's a requirement to go serve tables or to be over a ministry that people might not think is a big deal, but it is. And they had to be of honest report, full of wisdom and the Holy Ghost. And how do we get wisdom from the Holy Ghost? Mm-hmm. So that I like the wisdom and the Holy Ghost tandeming next to each other like that, and so you know I think that's great. I mean I love the sister Sophia. I love her. Thank you for that. That really was a good title. Do you love Miss Sophia? I like to call her sister because that's that proverb. I don't remember which one it was, but. I really enjoyed that part there, the Sister Sophia. So that's all I had to add to it. And just want to say I appreciate it for teaching and praise God.
Anything else? Okay, praise the Lord.
Amen.